Global estimates published by the World Health Organization indicate that about 1 in 3 women worldwide have experienced either physical or sexual partner violence or non-partner sexual violence in their lifetime. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Devorah Bauman on this episode of Hadassah On Call.
This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine. In each episode, we go behind the headlines with the Hadassah Medical Organization and look at the work changing what's possible, helping you understand the medical breakthroughs impacting our lives. From neurological malfunction to sexual dysfunction, from striving for peace through medicine to operating room robots, this is Hadassah On Call. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to the show. My guest today is Dr. Devorah Bauman. She's the director of the Batami Center for Victims of Sexual Abuse at the Hadassah Medical Organization. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bauman. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the Hadassah Medical Organization.
Thank you so much for this option. And I'm a gynecologist obstetrician, mainly in gynecology. And my subspecialization is pediatric and adolescent gynecology, where I learned in mostly in London. And so doing that, I was in contact with many little girls with, you know, some complaints about irritation there and et cetera. And part of them were practically sexually abused. So I just was very involved just in the beginning of my subspecialization in those cases of sexual abuse. So finally, I started to be more and more involved in this Batami Center, and, you know, I got to be the director at the end.
That's so interesting. And while doing my research for this interview, I noticed that your philosophy is a bit different than what many people might be used to seeing for victims of sexual abuse. Tell us a little bit about your philosophy of care for the very sensitive nature of the work that you do, Doctor.
Yes. Thank you for this question, which is very important, because you see what happens with when you, I wouldn't say the kids, but the kids as well, but when young women, is that, you know, when it's a very crime in the middle of the street, in the middle of the night, it's very clear that it's abuse or rape. But most of the cases are not like this. About 80% of the cases is something happens in their homes, something that happens with their partner, not always in not always a husband, could be an intimate partner or something. And the people are, the girls, the victims, are very confused. They are not sure if it's a crime was done by, to them, or it's a normal, mostly in children. They don't really know if it's a part of life and a part of normal behavior, or it's a crime. And they're very confused. And this way of confusion makes the trauma even bigger. So I think that the most important thing at the beginning is to make those things clear, to explain to the child, to the girl, to the adolescent, to the woman that love and, you know, a partnership is something that you have to be agree. It's something that you want the same way that the other one. And when it's done without your, I would say, without your willing and without your permission and without your emotional involvement, it's not right. And from that point to abuse, is the way is very short. I hope I explained myself clear.
You absolutely do, and you make it so clear for us to understand. So tell us about the Batami Center. How did it come about, and what was the what used to be the protocol for victims of sexual abuse prior to the center's opening? Is it the only one in Jerusalem?
Yes, it's only one in the Jerusalem. We have in our country, which counts almost to 8 million, we have 4 centers like that. And the one, our center is for Jerusalem and surrounding, which is about 1 million of people, of residents. And it's a very special place because, if I may to say, to tell a bit of history, is that, as you know, abuse and rape and everything, those things we have from the Bible. So it's very, very old things that happen, or crime, I would say, that happened. But up to, I would say, the 80s, nobody really knew how to care, how to give care to those people. And what happened that in Israel, for example, many years ago, that a young, very slim girl came to one of the hospitals before there was centers like that. And so they took care of her. They gave her antibiotics and they gave her everything. But she was looking so young and so slim that nobody thought that maybe she would be pregnant. And finally, the pregnancy was discovered when she was on her 27th week. A girl of 18 years. So it was a really dramatic disaster. And from that on, people decided that for these victims, we have to have real protocols, like in all medicine, you know. And so the protocols will evolve with Ministry of Health. And today we work really according to very clear guidelines when a victim came after having, you know, psychosocial approach and everything. We do the medical examination, we do the forensic examination, and we give them a medical treatment to prevent sexual transmitted disease, to prevent unwanted pregnancy, and, of course, we follow up them to see that they stay healthy. At least in my part, it's mostly, I would say, the medical. We have also, of course, social and psychosocial therapists who are taking care to follow up with psychological, you know, trauma and everything.
Are all your victims women, or are some men also victims of this type of abuse?
So most of them, of course, women. I will tell you a bit of statistic that below the age of 10, the victims are the same number, boys and girls. So in young population, we have just the same. In the older population, let's say after puberty, in adolescence, it's mostly women. In our center, the statistic shows that 88% are women and about 12% are men. But that's not the statistic we know, because the statistic we know, as you said, 1 in 3 or 4 women are victims of sexual abuse. And 1 in 6 men is a victim of sexual abuse. So the point is that we see so few men is still a problem, that disclosure in this population of men is very difficult. Because, as you can understand, I'm not a psychologist, but a man, mainly in Israel, many countries, which the men feel he's a soldier, he's a combat soldier, he's a strong person. To come to this center and to say, I was abused, I was, they feel still that maybe it shows them like not strong enough.
Mm. That's such an interesting analysis, Doctor. So tell us a little bit about how you assess the level of trauma. And is the victim's recovery influenced by how soon after the assault that the victim is seen? Give us a little of the multidisciplinary care that these victims receive when they are coming to see you.
So our center, Batumi Center, which is placed in Hadassah, works like emergency room. We have staff on call, which has three disciplines. It's always a social worker, a nurse, and a medical doctor, mostly gynecologist. And for children under the age of 10 to 12, those are pediatricians. So we have always a team consisting of three disciplines. Once the person, assaulted person is coming to the emergency room, she or he doesn't have to go to the big emergency room. They just go in the beginning and they say, I came to Batumi. Immediately, they are took to this special center, which is small. Once you are in Israel and Jerusalem, you should come and see our center. And they come to the center, which is a small, nice office close to the emergency, but really very in a discreet place. And then our staff is called. We are working 24 hours, 7 days a week, 36 five days a year. Okay, so we just give we give our assistance every minute in the whole year. And once this victim comes to the center, and we come, so we start to work as a team. The social worker is really starting to, what is called, to interfere in the trauma, to prevent post-traumatic stress disorder, to talk to them and to give them back the confidence. Because I would say that the main trauma they have, it's not physical. I mean, the physical is really big trauma, but the most trauma, they are traumatized psychologically, because we are talking about very intimate parts of your body that you always cover, and you decide to open them just to people that you really trust them and you love them. And what happens is that somebody who didn't ask you permission, who didn't, you know, didn't wait to see if you agree for that, and he really raped you. That's the word.
This is such an interesting topic, Dr. Bauman, and the way that you approach it is also, it's heartening to hear all of the things that you're doing for these victims. As, you know, around the world, we're hearing about this Me Too campaign. It's very top of mind these days. Are we relating this conversation in a way? Are you seeing this happening in Israel? Are more women speaking up? Do you feel that there's more of an empowerment that's going on in Israel that might kind of be affecting globally?
Yes. Thank you so much for this question. Because, you know, when I'm teaching students, so we do like a discussion, what do you think about Me Too? Do you think what are the advantages and disadvantages? So, of course, there are few disadvantages. And if I start, if you agree that I start from few disadvantages, is that it's a feeling like more feministic side, that more women are involved, and I'm looking more for the men, although in the States there are also some men that stand up for this movement, but in Israel it's mostly women, and it's my feeling that there is less place for men, which I'm so looking for them, because they are, you know, disappearing. We don't see them. But that's maybe the only one disadvantage is small. But if we would talk about advantages, they are huge. It's like a revolution. And, you know, when there is a revolution, so there is always, you know, a bit of blood. There is always, you know, a bit of terror. But as a revolution, it's a huge revolution, because this movement or revolution means that women that was abused or raped and were ashamed to stand up and to say, it was done to me, that blah, blah, that, that, and that. But now, because they felt they are guilty in something, maybe in the skirt, maybe in this and that, but they feel some guilt in it. And what doing this revolution is that it's changing, it's moving the guilt from the victim to the person who did it. Okay, and that's very important, because nowadays women understand very much what happened to them. It's not their guilty. It's the guilty of the perpetrator, the guilty of the person who did them. And it's no thing would explain or giving, you know, a reason why it was done. There is no excuse for that. So the real guilt, so that's what for me the movement and the of Me Too is doing, that it changes the real guilty from the woman to the other. So when the women feel less guilty and less shame, they can talk about it. They can go to the court. They can do anything. And that's, for me, the most important thing.
Wow, that's really amazing to hear. So as a wrap-up, Dr. Bauman, what would you like our listeners to know about how they can possibly help? If they know a victim of sexual abuse, how can they help a person get the professional help that they need after such a traumatic experience? What advice would you give someone if they know someone, or if they themselves feel that they have been abused.
Yeah. So again, it's also something I discuss always with students in medical school. And we're talking about that there are a lot of publications that show that, unfortunately, most of the victims are not talking with the doctors about what happened, about the past of sexual abuse. And on the other side, doctors are usually not asking. And when I'm trying with the students to understand why the doctors are not asking, so the reasons are, the first, they don't know what to do with that. For example, they ask, and the woman says, disclose it, and says, yes, I did have a sexual abuse in my childhood or something. So they freeze. They freeze, and they don't know how to respond. So as students and the doctors of the future, I'm telling them that they have to do it very naturally. They have, for example, in when they take the medical history, and, you know, we usually ask in medical history, do your parents have hypertension, diabetes, et cetera, right? That's a normal history. So you have to ask the woman and to tell her, and that's true. I know the one in every three women or in every four women is a victim of sexual assault. And because it affects your health, and that's true, it affects the health, and I'll maybe tell a few things about it. So the sentence would be, and because it affects your, it might affect your health, I would like to know if you had such a bad experience in your life. So if you put this question as a really routine question, you will find out how many women, and maybe men, I'm a gynecologist, I don't treat men, but I see a lot of women, when I ask this simple question, they just start to talk about it. And when they talk about it, I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to become a psychologist at that moment. Usually, the second question would be, did you talk about it? Did you spoke to somebody about it? And if you don't, maybe you won't now. I can call a social worker. I can call a psychotherapist. I'm very lucky because, you know, I'm in hospital, so I have all these facilities. And even, for example, if a woman came for a routine examination and we start to talk about it, and, you know, all the feelings, all the experience, all the trauma is loading up, so sometimes I tell her, listen, I don't mind if we don't do the gynecological examination now. Just relax and come in a few weeks and we'll do it. So I think it's make the difference. I think that after disclosure, people feel much better. They seek for assistance, for medical assistance, for psychological assistance. You know, what is very important is that statistics shows that 45% of children who had sexually abused don't disclose this topic until the age of after 25, 30. So they live with this information, for this trauma, and then don't share it with anybody. So we, as medical team, as social team, you know, as a society, we have to help those people to disclose things, to try to get to their hearts.
We certainly do, and we applaud all the great work that you're doing on behalf of all of these victims, Dr. Bauman, because it really is something that's affecting the whole planet, and you are out there helping these victims, and it's just wonderful to see, and I hope that we take heart and hear your good advice, because women, we do need to stand up and not feel guilty and not feel shame, and thank you for reiterating that. Thank you for encouraging this. And for women stepping up. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being on with us today. This is Hadassah On Call, New Frontiers in Medicine, brought to you by Hadassah, the Women's Zionist Organization of America. The largest Jewish women's organization in America, Hadassah enhances the health of people worldwide through medical education, care, and research innovations at the Hadassah Medical Organization. For more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit Hadassah.org. And to hear more episodes in this podcast series, please visit Hadassah.org/podcasts. That's Hadassah.org/podcasts. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.